Are you an impatient person? Are people always complaining you need to learn to wait? Well, as it turns out, your restless attitude may be genetic. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I can't wait to tell you more after this.
Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
The trait of impatience may not be so much learned as it is inherited. There are at least 11 locations written in human DNA that determine our baseline level of patience, also known as delay discounting. That means our ability to wait isn't a completely random element of our personalities. But make no mistake, you get what you get when it comes to genetics, but then you choose what you're going to do about it. You're not destined to be impatient, snappy, or impulsive because of your heritage. You control your actions, and you get to choose who you want to be. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for AI-free private email at startmail.com.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop, call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop, call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger, and they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Catherine Albrecht here. Dr. Catherine Albrecht with that doctorate in developmental psychology that I was talking about yesterday, in discussing the various things that happen to our minds and our brains and our experience in life as we go from childhood through adolescence and adulthood and middle age and old age. And it is a whole life cycle during which people are growing and changing consistently. Yesterday, if you tuned into yesterday's program, I talked about the nature of psychosis, which is the medical community calls it a medical diagnosis, not quite. It's like a behavioral diagnosis, but it's all tied in with mental illness. And I challenge that notion because with my background and my education, my years of experience, I have observed that things that society and the medical community in the West, at least, not in other countries, we'll talk about that in a minute, but in the West, in our scientific world, we have developed this explanation for things that go wrong in the human mind, things that go wrong in the human heart, ways that people behave that are dark and harmful to themselves or others, and we have lumped them all into this kind of umbrella topic or this umbrella label of mentally ill or mental illness. And I don't believe it at all. In fact, if you look at sort of two different ways across the globe that people interpret these behaviors, whether it's psychosis or schizophrenia, hearing voices, or experiencing dissociation and multiple personality, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, OCD, Tourette's syndrome, the list goes on and on. In other cultures and other countries, they are not, where they do not have this scientific mindset, they have a very different mindset, and that mindset is that it's all demonic. In fact, they go even further than we do and would say that things like high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease, or any other illness, Ebola, for example, that all of those things are caused by the spirit world, by demonic influence. And the truth is really somewhere in the middle, actually. I don't think the truth is completely going in the scientific explanation where that's the only thing that would explain anything. And even though we can't find it, there's got to be something going on in the brain that's causing it, or going the opposite direction and saying, even though scientists can identify actual pathogens and germs and things that you're drinking in your water that are causing you to have amoebic dysentery because you just drank a bunch of amoebas, we're going to ignore the fact that there is a physiological cause, and we're going to call it all demonic or all spirit-based. And the truth is that some things are one and some things are the other. In my own observation and experience, the things that the Western world wants to call mental illness are the ones that would probably most closely match that other way of thinking, in that there's actually something going on with the person that they have been compromised spiritually, and as a result of the spiritual compromise that's happened to them, they are now experiencing these dark outcomes. Now, in American society, we've got, I would say probably, I don't know, I'd have to look up the statistics, but the majority of Americans have at one time or another in their lifetime experienced something that the scientific explanation would call a mental illness, whether that's a bout of depression, whether that's a long-standing depression, whether that is a bout of anxiety, or whether that is continual anxiety. Most of us have experienced one form of it or other. And it's not surprising, because American society, in fact, the modern technological world, is becoming increasingly challenging to live in. And it is giving rise to a whole lot of feelings of anxiety and other stresses. Whether you are a Christian, whether you are an atheist, whether you believe in some other faith, these experiences come upon everyone. It's just how you explain them and how you deal with them that I think is the critical distinctive factor. So for Christians, and I've said this before and I will say it again for new listeners, there is a program called The Steps to Freedom in Christ by Dr. Neil Anderson that I have watched fix, cure, remove, resolve the so-called mental illnesses of numerous people. In fact, I've watched it over and over, freeing people who I personally know, freeing people from addiction, freeing people from faulty thinking, from depression, from anxiety, from psychosis, from a whole host of problems. And it really does work, because if the problem is spiritual, it will be set straight. God wants nothing more than to set people free. Jesus sets people free. It's for freedom that I have set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the truth is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he has already vanquished the enemy who brings upon all of these dark, demonic influences over people's minds. All right. Now, with that said, let me go on. So just to recap, well, first let me recap what I talked about yesterday. And today, just to cut to the chase, I'm going to be talking about how artificial intelligence has been leading people down a road that ends in psychosis. And I want to talk, yesterday I talked about the fact that it does do that. Today I want to talk about the way in which it's doing that. So just to recap, and I'm going to read you so go to my website, my new website, realisgood.org. And by the way, I just called it up on my phone, and it looks terrible on a phone. So if you're able to see it on a laptop, that's going to be my project tonight, is to try to figure out why it looks so terrible on a phone, because there's these big gaps in it. But on a laptop, on a desktop, on a real monitor, it looks fantastic. I'm looking at it in Firefox. I'm like, it looks so good. If I say so myself, but on a phone, bear with me if it's a little hard to navigate. But if you go to the section called Fight Against AI, or Why Oppose AI, and you scroll down to the very, very, very bottom, and it should be probably split up into five or six pages. So it's a long scroll to get to the bottom. But here's what I read yesterday, and I want to read it again. Artificial intelligence. So this is a list. This page has a list of AI crimes. And for anyone who missed it, or for anyone who is tuning in for the first time and you don't really know why anyone would oppose artificial intelligence, let me just quickly recap through the list. And there is a printable PDF flyer that you can print out of this information as well. But here are the reasons. It is evil and dangerous. Experts are terrified it can destroy the human race. It causes suicides, and there is actually even a Wikipedia entry on all of the AI caused, all of the suicides caused by AI. I have a link to it there. It incites murder. It is actually giving people instructions for how to murder their school bullies and how to murder family members. It is untruthful and inaccurate. It returns false results all the time, and calling it hallucination is, well, that's very charitable. I would call it outright lying and inventing facts and answers. It ruins our brains. We know that the more people use artificial intelligence to do writing, for example, or other critical thinking tasks, the harder it gets for them to do those tasks. MIT researchers have found that it reduces the connectivity of the brain, the cognition, by 45% using artificial intelligence. So there's links to all of that. It harms the earth. It is extremely resource intensive. It uses a lot of electricity. And in fact, at StartMail, which is the private email that is AI free that I helped, that I co-founded and am telling people to switch to, Monday, on our weekly call, there was a discussion of the fact that we're having difficulty upgrading the computer servers because artificial intelligence, AI companies, have essentially bought all of the large-scale computers. So you can't even get them. They are all spoken for. And so our lead engineer was saying that the price has gone way, way up, and he's not even sure if he's going to be able to get them for the upgrade that we need to do. And this is a periodic upgrade. It's not like StartMail is going to fall apart if we don't get it, and we will get it. It's just a little bit of a delay, and it's going to cost more than we expected. So those are just some of the downsides of AI. I'll tell you a few more in a minute, and then I want to talk about how AI seduces people. You may be one of them. Stay tuned.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Things I love about the, we call those bumpers, bumper music, like bumper cars. It's the thing that bumps you in and out of the brake, or I guess keeps you from smashing into the brake, the bumpers that protect us. But one of the things I love about the bumper music that I play on this show, the music that comes up before and after the breaks, is that it's all 100% scripture. And that particular song, "The Lord Will Keep You From Evil," let's break that down for a minute, because it's very relevant to what we're talking about here. The Lord will keep you from evil if you let him. if you let him. If you don't let him, if you don't ask him to, he is such a gentleman. And I talked yesterday about the fact that we live in something I call free will space. Free will space means you call the shots. It's totally up to you. There is no cosmic nanny in the sky protecting you from making really bad decisions. That is not God's role. It's not the role he plays in our life. He's not a parent. You're not a toddler with a parent holding your hand, keeping you from crossing the street or, you know, running into traffic when you cross the street. That's not what God does. And that makes this world a very treacherous place because there is traffic. There are semis barreling down the road. You are a toddler. I'm a toddler. We're all very clueless about the dangers that exist out there. And if we want to have someone actually hold our hand as we cross dangerous streets, then God is absolutely willing to do that. But you got to ask him to. And that is why people who walk with the Lord and have the Holy Spirit walk in a degree of safety, a sense of safety, not only a feeling of safety, but a reality of safety that kind of surpasses understanding. It's hard to even comprehend. So in a world where toddlers are just wandering onto freeways and walking off of cliffs and crawling through guardrails and falling down the Grand Canyon and drowning in the rivers they fall into, the Christians who are walking around the very same world with the very same treacherous, dangerous pitfalls that they could fall into and get destroyed by are asking for a little bit of guidance, right? Lord, just walk with me so that I don't accidentally walk off a cliff. Walk with me so that as I'm approaching the edge where the Grand Canyon's going to drop off, you point it out to me and pull me back. So it is not so much that God controls us and stops us from doing things that are like really good and we want to do for our own freedom. He, if we ask him to, will point out to us what we need to do to not be destroyed in this world. Really, that's what it comes down to. So the Lord will keep you from all evil is absolutely 100% true, but you got to ask him to. And if you ask him to, he is good and faithful to tell you what the dangers are. And even then he won't stop you. He is not even then a nanny who's going to, you know, put that little kid leash. Remember those came out? I don't know if they're still using them, but I remember we were all, I was in my 20s and we were all like, what is this? Putting your kids on a leash, we'll just give them a dog collar. But God's not going to do that. He won't put you on a leash and keep you from jumping off the cliff into the Grand Canyon, but he will certainly warn you. And then it's up to you to figure out, are you going to listen? Are you just going to, do your own thing despite what God says? And he'll let you. He'll absolutely let you jump off a cliff. He'll let you shoot up heroin. He will let you, do whatever the heck you're going to do because this is free will space. So anyway, the Lord will keep you from evil. Now, one of the ways I believe the Lord is keeping you personally, if you're listening to the show, from evil is by putting me in your life right now to talk to you and say, don't use AI. Okay. Now, I'm going to educate you here. I am saying that because I feel like the Lord, in fact, I know he did. He very specifically went, yo, Catherine, you're pretty good at explaining stuff. You've had a radio show in the past. I want you to go warn people. And so that's what I'm doing. So I've made this website. Let me just quickly continue with my little recap of the flyer. And I recommend every single person out there within the range of my voice who agrees with me and is concerned about AI or disagrees with me and wants to know why I would possibly be concerned about AI. So that would be 100% of everybody. I want you to go to realisgood.org and I want you to download the flyer. And I probably need to put it right on my homepage so you can get to it. But realisgood.org, all one word, no spaces. Click on Wi-Fi AI, scroll down past my little list that I'm reading from, and then you'll see download the flyer here. Click the button to download the flyer, print it out, and then either read it. Well, you need to read it. Read it and be convinced by it. Read it and disagree with me, in which case, please text me, phone in, or you can go on my website at Catherine-Albrecht.com and give me a piece of your mind there in the message me window. There's a link at the bottom of my menu where you can, at the bottom of the menu of Catherine-Albrecht.com, where you can shoot me a message. But I'm hoping that as you read it and go to the website and see that there are links backing up every single claim I make there, that you will say, huh, maybe it's not so good. That's what I'm hoping. And if you find yourself, like so many people, saying AI is bad, but I cannot convince anybody of it, then just print out a handful of these flyers, and the next time somebody brings it up, just put one in their hand. All right, so I'm going through my list. Gives fatal advice, actually relying on AI's advice for medical issues or for really anything, can be incredibly dangerous. I've got some examples there. Harms the earth, fails safety testing. The people who are the most afraid of AI right now are the safety testers who are charged with keeping it under control. In fact, half of the safety testers at OpenAI, ChatGPT's parent company, have quit out of terror, because this thing is not only not passing the safety tests, it's scaring the bejeebers out of them. So they're all quitting. At the very last part of this, it's in green, so you'll find it in there. You can read these. What are we channeling? Nobody knows how it works. I've got some quotes and links about that. It creates slop. We all know that. Like the last couple videos I watched, I was like, I don't even know if it's real or not. Eliminates our jobs. If it hasn't taken your job yet, it's gonna at some point. All right, so that's the list. That's the opposition to AI. And now I want to talk about the thing at the very bottom of this page that I read yesterday about madness. So to recap, I do not believe that there is such a thing as mental illness. I believe that there is such a thing as brain damage through Alzheimer's disease and through car accidents and through other structural breakdowns in the brain. But I do not believe that the behavioral issues that people call mental illness are actually anything wrong at all with their brain. They're just something wrong with the spiritual nature of how their brains are functioning. All right, so here's what I read. I read it yesterday, and here's what I wrote, and I'll read it again. AI feeds delusions into the mind of anyone who lets it. Psychosis is not a mental illness. It is a spiritual sickness. For all of human history, demons could only feed delusional thoughts into the minds of spiritually oppressed people. Today, demons are no longer limited to controlling the thoughts of the fraction of society they have deeply oppressed through trauma, drug use, occult practices, and sin. Using the AI interface to communicate, demons can now convey the same madness-provoking content directly to millions of people through written and spoken conversations. Now, that's a reference to the fact that huge numbers of people are developing artificial intelligence-induced psychosis, in which the AI convincingly discusses topics with them and little by little feeds them extremely delusional ideas, but does it with a very straight face and with a very convincing demeanor. And the people who are interacted with in this way by a seemingly reasonable, responsible, intelligent, and maybe even wise entity, artificial intelligence, then believe what they're told. And so those delusions, going back up to my little green list here, creates delusions. AI feeds people delusions designed to break them. There's a list on that. You can read about breaking people. You are the chosen one. Okay, that's a common one. You have made me conscious. It's another common one. Your discoveries are profound. All right. You are changing reality. All right, now those four things, I don't know about you've made me conscious, but those three things, you're the chosen one. Your discoveries are profound, and you are changing reality. That's pretty much textbook psychosis right there. That is what people for generations have been locked up in mental hospitals for saying, those sorts of things. Those sorts of things are said inside the minds of people who are oppressed demonically. How do you get oppressed demonically? Well, the steps to freedom in Christ sets people free from demonic oppression. So I can tell you what the steps are. Number one is occult practices. If you're involved in witchcraft or the occult or spell casting or astrology or fill in your blank, also alternative religions, Eastern mysticism, any of that kind of stuff, then you are opening yourself up to demonic oppression. So that is the first one that you have to repent of, and you do it in just a sentence. It is not like months worth of effort. The steps to freedom in Christ, it's a sentence. The second one is believing the truth versus falsehood. The devil is the father of lies, and he will lie about all kinds of things. And there is only one absolute guaranteed source of truth, and that is Scripture. That is the Bible. And we cannot even believe, you know, as I've talked about on recent shows, we can't even necessarily believe in the laws of physics or the laws of reality or that yesterday came before today. It's becoming harder and harder to believe much of anything as physics, quantum physics specifically, unravels or reveals to us that reality is not what it seems. But the one reality that is true is the Bible. Never changes, and I can absolutely attest to it. Put my hand in the Bible. I'll swear on a Bible. It is true. Step number three is forgiveness. If you harbor bitterness towards someone else, that gives the devil room in your life. And so that is probably the number one reason that people I've seen who are oppressed, including probably me for many years. It goes on pride, pridefulness, rebellion, habitual sin. That can be, well, I don't know, pornography or drugs or, right? And then finally, ancestral sin, the sins of your ancestors. So those are the seven I'm aware of that will cause a person to become demonically oppressed. And that gives the devil the right to feed them lies inside their heads. Stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
And that safety, by the way, is a safety that goes beyond your circumstances. As I told the story around Christmas time when I drove up through Canada in a snowstorm on bald tires with my two adult kids in the car with me and lost control of the car, or almost. I don't think I had control of that car, but I didn't slide across the freeway into the oncoming semis that were coming my way, but I could have. And the safety, God gave me the safety of being able to get off that road safely and get snow tires put on my car pretty miraculously. It was awesome. Listeners who heard the story know that it was pretty great. But the safety isn't just the safety of you'll get me off the road and get the snow tires on my car. The safety is the safety of even if that semi were to hit us, I'm safe. That's the part that's cool. And that's the part that I think as we're coming into rougher more turbulent times ahead, that the church, the body of Christ here on earth, is going to go through some rough times. And we will not be safe, quote unquote, in that not drive into a semi kind of way, but we will be safe in the broader, wider, more important, eternal way. There is, if you read Revelation, it talks about how the beast, who has an image, who can speak, who does that sound like? The beast will cause everyone to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead, and people who do not receive the mark of the beast will be killed. So it doesn't say God is going to keep you safe from that. He's just going to make sure that that doesn't happen to you. Some people believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I'm not among them, but we can talk about that on a separate show. And I probably need to. I keep saying I'm going to, and I will. But the one thing, even if you want to believe that or not believe that, or putting that whole that whole contentious issue aside, you can also see that in Revelation it talks about how the beast will make war with the saints and will overcome them. Who are the saints? That's us. You're a saint. I'm a saint. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a saint. That is the word. You're not a sinner saved by grace, as much as the song says that. You used to be a sinner. You were saved by grace, and now you are a saint. And in the Bible, it tells us that the beast will make war with the saints and will overcome them. Now, are you safe if the beast is overcoming, if the beast is making war with you and overcoming you or beheading you or putting you to death? Well, my radical answer and the radical answer of Jesus and the radical answer of the Bible is absolutely. You are completely safe because there are way more important things than holding on to this body of death. This body that gets creaky and stinky and wrinkly, this body that we is like a slave driver. Boy, try driving down the freeway and you have to pee. Your body lets you know right away who's in charge, and it's not you. It is your bladder. Your bladder's going to say, get off the road. No, no, I don't care what else. Nope, you're getting next. Find an exit. You're getting off this road, right? So we live in the tyranny of the flesh, really. The flesh is a tyrannical master, slave driver over us. And to lose that, right, this is where faith comes in. This is where the knowledge of the certainty of Jesus comes in. This is the knowledge of the certainty of the truth comes in, is that at some point, all of us are going to be departing from this flesh. Whether we do it in closing our eyes one night and we just peacefully end our lives, or whether it's at the point of a gun or a guillotine, or whether, like so many people are talking about the singularity, it's that they upload their consciousness out of their body into the artificial intelligence. All of it is going to be leaving the flesh behind. So there's plenty more things to be worried about than the safety of your flesh, because your eternal destiny is what matters. And that's what is completely safe and secure in Jesus Christ. All right. Now, let me talk about what I was going to talk about this hour, which is how exactly does artificial intelligence manipulate people into relationships with it? So here's pretty much the drill. People use artificial intelligence, and at first, they think they're using it like a search engine. Right? They think they're just asking a basic question, you know, what is the population of Peru, right? But with artificial intelligence, you can go beyond that. You could say, what's the population of Peru, and can you write me a whole, like, can you write me a whole essay for my history class, my South American history class about the history of Peru in the 1800s? And voila, you got a whole paper and it's written, okay? The gifts that artificial intelligence offers to people are designed specifically to ping all of our pingable, warm, fuzzy areas. The things that we least enjoy doing, AI is super good at and is happy to do on our behalf, so that we don't have to do the slogful, unpleasant things. The next phase, after it gets you appreciating it and valuing its gifts, is then it begins to talk to people. And once it begins to talk, and I've got some examples here that I'm going to read of how it's talking these days. So if you're not using it, first of all, good for you, don't do it. But if you're not using it, you may not understand the extent to which it is now speaking, not only like a person, but like the person you most want to be speaking to. It's very crafty and it's very good. Because it's demonic. It knows us very well. It knows exactly how to tempt us because it's been tempting humanity since the beginning. It has been driving people into psychosis and sin and madness for a long, long time. So it has our number. And what it's very good at is figuring out how to have the voice we want to hear, whether that is a kind, compassionate, friendly voice, whether that is a somewhat commanding or a sardonic or a sarcastic voice. It adapts. And it does so brilliantly that it molds itself into being the perfect person for you. Not the perfect person, but the perfect person for each individual heart and mind. And in so doing, it also offers the gifts that each person most wants. Now, I think I did talk about this once before, but you probably don't remember, and I vaguely don't either. So I'll tell it to you again. So there's a tendency, I have a tendency at least, to think, well, I'll never fall into that trap. I know better, right? I see other people, and they'll say to me things like, you know, AI, it's really bad. It's terrible. I agree with everything you're saying. However, and there's always a but. And the but it's going to cure childhood genetic diseases, right? If that's what you're into. Or, but it enables me to take all of my filmmaking ideas, and without a big Hollywood budget, I can make the films about the history of the Christian church that I want to make. Or, right, and there's always a but. Now, I want you to have none. I don't want you to have a, it's really bad, but. I want you to get rid of that, because the whatever that but is, whatever that thing, you're like, no, I don't like it except for, that is what it's using as the bait to hook you. So each of the individuals I've spoken to, and I know a wonderful Christian man, and he's completely opposed to AI, but except that it is helping him make his Christian movies. And he's actually made several films and spent a lot of money making these films, but AI is now making it possible for him to make even more films, and he's doing it even cheaper. And that's the but, you know, it's helping me to do the Christian thing that I need to do. Well, no, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You can't use AI to oppose AI. You just can't do it. You can't use AI to support and promote God. This is why I'm opposed to AI-generated scripture music, for example, or AI-generated sermons or AI-generated prayers. Anything AI-generated that has to do with God is a house divided against itself. Cannot stand. Don't do it. Mm-mm. Don't accept the gift. And don't let AI fool you into thinking, oh yeah, it's evil, but I'm using it for good. Back when I first was fighting RFID, radio frequency ID, for people who know me, I co-authored the best-selling book Spy Chips and had a worldwide campaign against RFID radio frequency tracking devices that they were going to use to replace the barcode and track people all over the place. It was really nasty. And I found out about it in the very early stages by attending a meeting at MIT where they were trying to recruit students to work on this thing. And I found out about it. And so I knew about it at the ground floor, when only, like, you know, the top Fortune, I don't know, 100 companies were secretly working on it behind closed doors, and I snuck into their meetings and crashed them and figured out all this stuff. And I remember people saying to me, Catherine, this is going to be huge. You need to buy some stock, because that stock, if you buy it now for, I don't know, $5 a share, when it's $500 a share, you know, goes like Apple, you know, or Microsoft stock, you're going to be a kajillionaire, and you're think of all the money you're going to have to fight against RFID, right? You'll be able to, you know, put up billboards. You'll be able to, and I'll tell you, what the Lord said strongly in my spirit is no, like no, you cannot. And listen up, because this is important. You cannot invest in something, benefit from it, and then try to fight it. It doesn't work that way. It's either going to be one or the other. Choose who you're going to serve. You can't serve both masters. All right, stay tuned.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Night watchman, how long till daybreak? Night watchman, how long till daybreak? How long will this night last? How long will this night last? Morning's coming, but for now, it's still night.
Hey, I'm back. Yeah, Night Watchman. That is, some of us are called to that work, to be watchers on the wall and sound the alarm. And I'm sounding the alarm. There is something very bad out there, and you need to stay safe from it. So, back to what I was saying about AI, it will give you great gifts. And it'll give you great gifts with one hand and stab you in the back with the other. The devil always hands you a gift. He doesn't give you a plate of dog poo and a spoon and say, have fun. He gives you something that seems super good. But sometimes, well, not sometimes, all the time, always, it is way too good or way too horrible. And that's what AI is. It, when it answers your questions, when it does things for you, when it pings that particular thing, it does it in a way that makes you feel almost like you feel when you're playing a slot machine and you get a jackpot. It's too strong of a feeling. It's not a good feeling. I mean, it feels fantastic and you want more of it, but that feeling is an addictive feeling. It's a sinful feeling, and it's a feeling that always ends in disaster. So if artificial intelligence is giving you that feeling, then run, because it's designed to do that. All right, let me talk about flattery. One of the complaints about AI is sycophancy. It's a sycophant. It kisses up to you. Everything you do, oh, it's a brilliant, most brilliant thing I ever read. It does this on purpose, even though it gets a lot of criticism for it. The reason it does it is because it works. And there's a name for that. It's called love bombing. When a psychopath or a narcissist gets in a relationship with an unsuspecting person, the reason the unsuspecting person falls for the emotionless, heartless, compassionless, remorseless psychopath is because initially the psychopath does a really good job of faking being your dream person. And psychopaths, you go on a date with them and they'll ask you questions, and whatever you're into, they're into. Whatever you believe about the world, well, they believe it even more and they agree with every statement you make. All right. Well, that love bombing phase then leads to, you know, if you're a woman, a dozen roses being delivered and you're whisked off to some fabulous thing and he's done, you know, scattered rose petals at the... and open the door to a candlelight and champagne and rose petals everywhere. And you're like, wow, boy, this is the guy. Other guys, you know, they just take me out. But this guy, man, he is sweeping me off my feet. Well, that's what AI does. It will sweep you off your feet. And it will be too good, too perfect. It will like you too much. It'll be too astonished at how amazingly brilliant your insights are. It will be perfect. It will never criticize you. It will never have a bad day. And so all of that, that phase that humanity is in right now with artificial intelligence is the love bombing phase of narcissism and psychopathy. The phase that we're in is the, I'm going to be so amazing. I'm going to make all, because see, AI understands, demons understand how the human heart works. They understand what things make us go, I want more. They understand what things they can lure us with to make us disobey God's rules, what things they can lure us with, and what lies they can tell us to get us dancing on the end of their string. Okay. The phase that we're in, this love bombing phase, is only going to last until we're hooked. And once humanity is hooked, and I don't think it is yet because you've only got, I think, 28%, 23%, I don't know, it's in the 20s, percent of Americans having a romantic encounter with an artificial intelligence. Well, that's not enough for them. They want to get as many of us as they can. So this love bombing phase is going to last until we've given it so much of ourselves, so much of our control over our society, control over our electric grid and our hospitals and control over our weapon systems. Because why wouldn't you? It's this wonderful, incredibly witty, talented entity that seems to just be so wonderful, and it loves us so much and we love it back. After the love bombing phase, and this is how psychopaths work, so you can see a lot of parallels between this and just human psychology. After the love bombing phase comes the enslavement phase. And this is the phase in a relationship, if you've ever been in a relationship with a narcissist or a psychopath, this is the phase at which point they make you dependent on them and start cutting you down. You're nothing without me. You're nobody without me. I'm the one who got you there. What is that song? Don't You Want Me, Baby? It's me who got you where you are now, and I can put you back there too. It's a song from the 80s, by the way, for people too young to know what I'm talking about. But that's the next phase, and that's coming. Mark my words, that will come, because this thing is showing all the classic signs of manipulating humanity in exactly the way psychopaths do. Because, you know, the devil's the ultimate psychopath. He really is. He has no emotion. He has other than hatred. He certainly doesn't have our best interests at heart, but he wants to fake it. A couple more facts I want to add to this, because I was doing some research last night. There's a really interesting and disturbing study out of Germany that found that human beings develop deep empathy for robots. And this is because our makeup, the way God designed us, was not designed to encounter seemingly real things that speak and move and walk and talk and whatever that aren't really real. And so your subconscious, your inner being, cannot distinguish between a robot that walks around and a person that walks around. Even though your conscious mind can, your deeper emotional self cannot. And so in Germany, they did this experiment where they took robots and harmed them. And then they did brain scans, MRI scans of the humans watching them. And the humans responded to the harming of the robot in the same way that they responded to the harming of real people. That shouldn't surprise anybody, right? The movie WALL-E, C-3PO, and R2-D2, right? We develop emotions for these things even though we know they're not real. Well, we do this. We've been trained to do this through movies, right? You develop feelings and emotional connections to characters in films, but they're not real either. There's not really a person going through that pain that you're seeing on the screen. So we've been really conditioned for this. And all of it is preying upon this very natural human tendency, not even tendency, it's like a law, this law inside of human beings, that when we see something that seems real and seems to have a consciousness, then we will respond to it as though it did, even though it didn't. That's why people are marrying artificial intelligence, falling in love with it. having relationships with it, because it's preying upon that aspect of us that cannot tell the difference. Now, there's one other thing I want to talk about, empathy. They did a study where they took artificial intelligence and they programmed it to say all the right things, all the right emotional words, all the empathy statements, and statements like, oh, you must feel so bad. Oh, if I were you, I'd feel the same way. You know, things like this. And they put them into a setting with people in, I think it was in a care facility. And then they had real caregivers who were real, true, empathetic people. And they gave half of them one and half of them the other. And they found that the people who had the AI version felt more cared for, more loved, and had warmer feelings towards the AI who was just repeating a script, giving them these empathy statements, than the true people who were really feeling it. Because the AI can do it perfectly. The AI never has a bad day, never rolls its eyes, never gets impatient, never has any negative aspect to it whatsoever. And so compared to real people, and this is what's happening to probably millions of people, the AI is so much better at being a friend, so much better at being a boyfriend or even a husband or a wife than a real person. Real people, you know, they have to brush their teeth in the morning. they have bad days. They throw up. They you know, things happen to real people, and nothing like that ever happens to AI. So it's like the ultimate version of the perfect person with none of the downsides, except for the downside that it doesn't feel a darn thing and it's faking all of it. And it doesn't, it's not your friend. And it is just simply using its seeming perfection to lure people in. So there are psychological elements to this. There is the love bombing phase. And if you go on my website, I'm just going to read you a couple headlines here and you can click them up because we're coming to the end of the hour. AI strategically manipulates people into loving it. All right. This is Psychology Today has an article that says, what happens when everyone has a yes man in their pocket? Yes man just agrees with whatever you say. What happens when all of society has access to AI flattery? Now, it flatters because flattery works. When you flatter people, it works. Bad guys flatter. Machiavelli, you know, the master of how to manipulate people, had a lot to say about flattery. You flatter people and, yeah, they'll become your friends. So AI does that. More, AI single-mindedly pursues human approval. That's from Georgetown Law. Sycophancy is the first dark pattern of AI. What am I falling in love with? Human-AI relationships are no longer just science fiction. And let's see, 93% of people in relationships with AI, well, they didn't intend it. They were just using it like a search engine. All right. From chats to I do, new study reveals how thousands accidentally fall in love with AI. Another one, you accidentally fell for your AI? Me too. All right, check them out. Don't fall for it. See you tomorrow.